You're listening to The Maastricht Diplomat.
Hi there. I am your host, Leanne, and I will guide you through this podcast series called 1 Month Abroad. In 3 episodes, we will talk about anything you can imagine will happen when you spend 1 month in a completely different country. In this podcast series, you hear 5 speakers representing 5 different destinations. In the first episode, we already heard from Sophia, who went to Uruguay, and Jacob, who went to Thailand. If you haven't listened to part 1 yet, this is my moment to tell you, please go listen to episode 1. You're free to do so after you finish this episode, since you don't necessarily have to have listened to part 1 to understand part 2. Now, for this episode, I am accompanied by our guest Lily, who went to Mozambique.
Hi.
And Lotte, who went to Cyprus.
Hey.
Thank you for being here. I am very much looking forward to our conversation today. And dear listener, thank you for tuning in. Enjoy. Could you please present yourself a bit, also like your field study and the research that you did there?
Yeah, of course. So I went to Mozambique. We were in the capital, Maputo. We had 3 different topics that we could look at or study. The first one being decentralization, the second being conflict, and the third being HIV. I was in a group looking at the conflict, and we studied how different actors represent the problem of the insurgency in the north. So currently there's an insurgency in the province Cabo Delgado, and we wanted to understand the perspectives of the students at the university, the researchers, UN agencies like the development program, and different ambassadors and diplomats.
And I'm Lotte. I went to Cyprus and we stayed in the capital, Nicosia. We stayed in a hostel there for 4 weeks and we could conduct research on 2 different topics, either being international students and the legitimacy of the TRNC, which is in the north, or what we did, identity and citizenship. My research group mostly focused on how audiovisual landscapes and the differences between the northern and southern geographical side of the island influenced feelings of identity and belonging.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. And have any of you been already to Cyprus or Mozambique before, or to a country that was similar?
No, for me, completely not, no.
Yeah, no, me neither. It was a very new experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you think back of the first couple of days, like the first impressions, how did you settle in?
For me, it was just wonderful. And yeah, I don't know, I cannot really describe it. I was just really happy to be there. And I think also with the people, but also just the weather in general, and the environment where we stayed in, it was all very welcoming. So yeah, I almost immediately felt very at ease.
Yeah, I think I had a slightly different experience. I'd chosen Mozambique because of the topic, definitely, but also because I didn't really think of it would be a country that I'd visit in the near future. Of course, we did the preparation before we went, but when I arrived, it kind of like hit me. Wow, I'm in Mozambique. I'm in the other side of the world. You know, you kind of see the location of Mozambique. You're like, oh, well, it's just directly south of Europe. It's not that far. And then you arrive and, you know, how it looks from the aeroplane is so different to like what you're used to. And so I think for me, it was very much like I had to get used to it. Like, I was so happy to be there. The weather was amazing. But we had like an introductory session and you hear some things, you're like, oh, okay, I wasn't expecting that. You know, I wasn't expecting that maybe my lifestyle would change so differently. Like, we weren't advised to leave the apartment in the evening because of like safety and because majority of us were female identifying. So that was interesting. And so I think it took me a couple of days to kind of settle in. And that's like just also who I am very much. I need a couple of days, you know, I need to get used to the fact that the bathroom is different to what I expected, or there are cockroaches in the kitchen. You know, I kind of had to kind of like say to myself, this is okay, I'm going to be here for 4 weeks, just get used to it.
But I also think that that's very much understandable. I mean, when I compare it to Cyprus, I think the culture shock for you must have been way higher than for us. Also because, of course, we were staying in the southern side, which is also a little similar to Greece in a sense, so much more like Europe when compared to Mozambique.
Yeah, definitely, I think. But I think just also trying to navigate your position of like, oh, I'm in this new location, what does that mean? How do I, and I think also that's what we're taught often, is like, how is your presence not super like disruptive, but also you want to enjoy it. So it's like this really like, you have to try to settle in and find that routine that I think definitely within 4 weeks, you know which supermarket you go to, you know the sort of your surroundings and how to get places.
What I did have though in the beginning was that we immediately had to immerse ourselves in the research. So for us, there also wasn't really time to adjust. Because, yeah, we just immediately had to go and gather data, fix some interviews, and yeah.
And what kind of things did you do to get settled in? I think for you, you just got into the research. I think that might also increase the chance of like getting into contact with locals immediately, mm-hmm. And discovering the surroundings.
I think it was mostly getting more familiar with the environment. So like you said, where's the supermarket? Is there a park nearby? How do I move from the hostel to Prio? That was, for context, our partner institute. So it's mostly, yeah, just getting familiar with the environment, with the noises around you, with how people interact with each other and behave.
Yeah, I would agree. I think personally, I find navigating myself like within the streets, I'm very good at finding myself like around somewhere when I've done it for a couple of days. So like walking a lot. Our partner university was Eduardo Mondlane, and it was located like 30 minutes from us in a very like easy like direction. So like walking there, and then you kind of like navigate, okay, like this is where we are, and like this is that like little stool on the side and stuff like that. And this, and we, I think we were very lucky with our institute. They really welcomed us the first week. Three different PhD students presented their work within the topics that we were studying and asked for our feedback and everything. That moment kind of brought the connection of, this is what we've been studying for 2.5 years in our methods track, and this is what we're going to be doing, or this is what they want from us. So it was really interesting because the feedback we gave, or the work, the research method that they used, was actually like useful for both of us. Mm-hmm. So we could actually, you know, we would give like a recommendation, or like, did you think about this? And they're suddenly like, oh, that's great. Or yeah, that's great feedback. Or, you know, or, and they would do the same for us. And so on the educational side was a really big, smooth transition. And they also brought in students from the university who's just sat and did the lectures or the seminars with us. So that sort of like connection of, okay, how are we going to try and meet people our own age who can show us parts of the city, mm-hmm. made it so much smoother.
Mm-hmm. For me, I think it was also building the team. Just spending a lot of time with the people that we were also going to live with for 4 weeks, which can sound really daunting, but in the end, when you have multiple game nights, that's, for example, what we did, then it really helps to get to know each other. And also it makes living together so much easier, because we started as just a random group of individuals who didn't really know each other that well. And then having to think about having to live together with them for 4 weeks when they're actually maybe total strangers, yeah, it can be quite scary, but I think we handled that really well and we became pretty close pretty soon.
Mm. And then speaking of this, what role did the people around you, like your peers, what role did they play in you also getting settled in a bit more?
So I think it was definitely a feeling of supporting each other, feeling accepted, being part of a team, but also looking out for each other, being yes. adaptive. It's basically just also communicating a lot, and then yeah, it will basically solve everything as long as you just voice your thoughts or frustrations.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the groups that you were in were really important. I think everybody had an understanding that this is a new experience, whether it being the country, or I think for all of us apart from maybe one student, it was like a new location. So like navigating that and the cultural setting of the country, we all like kind of understood, like we all have our different ways about going about it, but everybody wanted to be as respectful as possible. So that was a nice like sort of like standard that we had set, but really understanding, okay, there are some people that are far more adventurous, and there are people that would just like to spend the time in like in the accommodation, or like just do like, yeah, take it more chill. So you could really choose, okay, this is where I'm going to go with. And because we were such, I think compared to you guys, we were a far bigger group. Mm. So you could kind of do that. And then definitely with the study groups, I found like you really had your click with them. You kind of had this like mission or this goal of your stay, like educational wise. And you kind of like helped each other out. Like, oh, actually, I'm not feeling so great. Like, the heat's kind of getting to me. I think everybody kind of took that a bit, or like underestimated how much the heat and like the food and all those cultural, like new experiences can affect your stay. So really just being like empathetic and understanding, okay, this is how they're experiencing it right now. We'll step in, or we'll take, you know, stuff like that.
But also like how you were saying that everyone sometimes wants to do something different. I think that also really shapes your experience. Because, for example, some people would like to go out, other people would want to go to archaeological sites. So in that sense, the people around you also shape your experience.
Yeah, and there's one example I could give is that there were 4 boys and there was 12 girls. So very like, not the split wasn't that equal. And so in Mozambique, men have a lot more freedom. Of course, the boys that did go were white, so that's also then different to the local experience, but they could go out in the dark and not be as like harassed or like looked at. So I think some of the places I went to within the city that weren't considered as safe, or we shouldn't really have gone into those areas, I really could do that because I was with 2 boys. So that was also really interesting, because I think if I had that experience here in Maastricht, I would have been, or knowing myself, I would have got really annoyed, like, oh, I just want to do my own thing. I want to go to the shops myself. I just want to do that. And actually, I realized that I kind of didn't mind as much. I kind of let that go. I kind of was like, you know what, actually, I just want to enjoy my experience. I could just walk with these people. I don't have to be talking all the time, and I could just be having a good time. And just accepting, like, this is where you are, and you just have to kind of follow along with the standards of the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's also something I want to touch upon. So we agree that the people around you, the students that we went to the field destination with, really shaped the experience, but also the people in the country themselves really shaped the experience. For example, in Cyprus, I immediately noticed that everyone was very welcoming, but also just open to talk about things, even though the Cyprus conflict that we were researching is, of course, very much still present, but also is maybe a very sensitive topic to a lot of people. But still, even though they didn't even get that much out of it, apart from the report that we sent to them afterwards, they were still so open to talk about personal stories or memories. So I thought that was very, very special. And that also just made me feel really safe. I also, during my stay, never had a moment that I felt unsafe in the whole city. And I think I felt even more safe than in the Netherlands sometimes. And that was something I definitely didn't expect in the beginning.
So we would say that you had certain surprises when it comes to your positionality, how you kind of expected to be perceived. And then once you were there, you had a very different experience.
Yeah, definitely. But I also think that when students, for example, would conduct research in the Netherlands or in other countries, the people maybe wouldn't be so open to participate. And I think in Cyprus, that was something that I also expected to be the case, but that, yeah, was not true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really funny when you put that like, student research lens or like cap on, and that's your role of how many people and things you can access. Like, I think also for us in Mozambique, my group, we really wanted to get the perspective of diplomats and their understanding of what their country thinks of what they think of the situation in Mozambique. And I was kind of like, are we actually going to be able to contact these people, reach these people? Mm-hmm. And same with like UN agencies. You don't really expect that you can walk past the door and knock on one here, which we did there. We walked past the gate and we asked the guard, would it be possible if we like go in and say hi to somebody? And it wasn't like we sat there for a moment at the UN Agency of Humanitarian Affairs. But it was so funny how like that just worked. I think especially because we could say like, we're students from the Netherlands, from Maastricht, and they kind of maybe heard from it or about it or something. And then, yeah, like a week later, we had an interview, which I would agree with you. I think here, you just can't do that. Or like, people are a bit more like hesitant about like, what information are they giving you? And of course, like, it's funny, one diplomat was very much like off the record and they gave their opinion. But yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, exactly. We also had an interviewee who really wanted to do traditional drinks with us and like a tour throughout the city and then talk about certain buildings or just whole stories about what happened there. And that was also very personal, but very interesting.
So when you're talking about the research and your positionality also as a researcher, do you think you were perceived also as a researcher or more as a tourist?
I think it really depends on the situation that I think about. For example, when I was going out one night, I was really perceived as a tourist. People were asking, hey, where are you from? What made you come all this way to Cyprus? And then my response was, of course, that I'm here with fellow students and we're conducting research. And then I would always get a really surprised reaction. Oh, and then what are you conducting research on? And oh, so you still need interviews. Yeah, maybe I can talk about the topic. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting. But also, for example, on the 14th anniversary of the TRNC, we went out on the streets to see what was going on and to conduct some ethnographic data. And then we noticed that there was something going on. The air felt a little tense. And then we asked some people if something was happening. And they all said, no, the protests happened this morning. Nothing is going on. And then 5 minutes later, there was this huge protest going on. And we were there and we took our notebooks and we just started taking notes. And that's the moment where I think people really perceived us as either journalists or researchers, but not as tourists. Mm-hmm. So it really depends. But most of the time it was a bit of a mix. But yeah, when it was really sunny and we were walking there with our sunglasses,
yeah,
then it could have been either. It's difficult to say.
Yeah, I think it's also like the way you maybe like conduct yourself or like how you like what situation you are in. I think it's very like contextual. But I think for me, when we were doing the interviews, it very much felt like we were researchers. I really appreciate how we were taken very seriously. And maybe that's because of the settings we were in. We kind of created it a very professional setting, maybe. I'm not sure. So I think it's more when we're in the streets, we were definitely seen as tourists because we were walking around and there's like a bunch of 16 white students. We kind of drew attention, I think, but more out of curiosity, like, okay, what are these people doing? And then when they saw us with like our backpacks, it kind of looked really mm-hmm. funny. But I think it was more when we weren't doing our research, because our research was very much interview based. So you could put yourself in that position for like 2 hours and then come out of it and then you can kind of relax. But I think for me, I think from the outside, we were definitely perceived as tourists or students because people were aware of where we were staying. Mm-hmm. So they see us going into like the accommodation for international students. Mm-hmm. So I think we were more perceived as, yeah, we were definitely perceived as like tourists, but also then like they kind of knew what we were doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also agree with the part where you said that you are perceived very professionally. We also had that when we were conducting the interviews and then most specifically always when we would explain the whole procedure and informed consent, we received so many times feedback like, oh yeah, you guys really take that seriously, right? In the Netherlands, like here, it's not so much the normalized way to go when conducting research. So also once we had an interviewee who would bring his mic because he was really into creating podcasts and that also felt like he was really into it and really taking it seriously. So yeah, that was really fun. Mm-hmm.
And if we come back to the setting a bit more, so how do you think that also having to deal with culture shocks at the same time, completely new environment and as well conducting research, like, how easy was it to manage all that? Maybe you can explain some of the culture shocks you experienced.
I'm trying to think of like the culture shocks, to be honest. Like, I know there definitely were some. I think the biggest thing was like the freedom of going outside in the evening. So the city is nearly completely dark. They have some like street lamps and everything, but that is something to get used to. Also, when you go to the university, you're dressed very well. So all the tutors are and the lecturers are, like, which is, I think, very different to what we experience here. We go to a lecture and they're just wearing normal clothes. Maybe one person is wearing a shirt or something, but it's nothing too serious. Mm-hmm. And I remember the first day we go to like our class or a seminar and the professor comes in and it was just very funny. Like, they're dressed really like nicely. And then just looking at some of us, we were kind of like, wow, we've got like linen pants on and yeah, like maybe like a blouse to keep cool, but it's very different. Mm-hmm. And also at one point I can't think, maybe in like the second week or something, we're just again in the class and someone very high up in the university comes in and starts basically promoting the faculty to us or like welcoming us, but in the sense being like, yeah, so we're the biggest faculty here. So it'd be kind of like, if, you know, someone at Fasos was like mm-hmm. basically promoting it to somebody, another student. So that was very funny. I'm trying to think of like cultural shocks that were based at the university. So maybe Lotte, you can.
Yeah, I'm thinking. I think for me personally, there weren't that many culture shocks, I would say. But for example, some fellow students were vegetarian or vegan. I myself am not. But when we were there, we wanted to do a mandatory vegan weekend, which for me personally was pretty hard. But that really made me notice how much Cyprus is a country where it's really in the culture to eat meat or fish or just dairy products, which I'm really used to, but for some, that's just a very different way of living. So I noticed how hard that could be, which for them could probably be a culture shock. Also how döner is very much present, especially in the north. So in terms of food, it wasn't really a culture shock, but more specifically related to the environment. I really had to adjust to the fact that it got dark so early. Every day it would get dark at 4:30 in the afternoon. And it would already get light in the morning at, I guess, 5 or something, 5:30 or so. And I'm really not a morning person. But when living there, that really turned around, and I was awake every day at 7.
Wow.
And in the beginning, that was pretty hard because it just feels like you're experiencing jet lag, even though that wasn't really the case. But after that, I felt way more energized and I just adjusted to the whole new way of living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I would agree. I think also food was definitely something that we kind of had to navigate to when we found this one market that we really liked, that you had like a humongous portion of food with like rice and salad and or there's a thing called shima, which is, I think it's cornmeal and water and oil, and then you kind of just get this block, this white block, so it's a bit intimidating because you get so much of it, and then with some like curry sauce, mm-hmm. and honestly it like fills you up. So those, and then like I think meat is very big there as well. It's funny, I'm a vegetarian, so a lot of people were tempted, but yeah, it smelled good. I didn't eat it, but it was, yeah, that is very different. I think same, like the time when people start their day is really early, like 4 a.m. people are definitely already like doing stuff, and like, or like, you know, what we consider when people wake up, so like 7-ish, it's kind of like the city is like alive and happening compared to the night where it's very quiet. But I think you can kind of like limit the culture shock about how much you've read or like your past experience at different countries. Mm-hmm. So I kind of went in being like, I know for myself, I would like to dress appropriately. And sometimes I was like, oh, actually, maybe I could wear my shoulders bare or something. Mm-hmm. And in certain environments, that was definitely would have been okay. But I think also like the heat and the safety wise, those sorts of things you could take into consideration. But I think like as a group of students, we all had very different ways about going things. I think it's just how open and adaptable you are. I think the biggest like, oh yeah, I realize, okay, I'm in Mozambique and I'm not in a European country, is like definitely the living conditions. Mm-hmm. I didn't go in thinking that I was going to have like a, you know, the same sort of standard that I have here, but sort of having to, like in the last week, we dealt with like some water issues where the water was cut off mm-hmm. in the evenings, and we all thought, oh, they're preserving waters, but I think it was either that or there was some problem with the building. But you know, trying to adapt with it. We always got bottled water anyway, but some people ended up having shower with those and stuff like that. Mm. So that was very different. And also I was living, so I shared a room with a global studies student, but we shared a flat with two Brazilian girls. Mm-hmm. So that on itself was also a massive culture shock, like how they use mm-hmm. the kitchen, how they use the bathroom was extremely different to us. Mm-hmm. And trying to navigate that with a language barrier was mm-hmm. also really like interesting, and trying to, you know, you always have like, I think tensions with, can arise from like a difference of using like your space, mm-hmm. but trying to like mitigate those with also the like the difference in language was also quite interesting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Also something I have to think about is the traffic. That to me was really a shock, so to say. They drive on the left there, which is still, of course, linked back to colonial times. And I have never been outside of Europe. So I've also never been in a country where they actually drive on the left. In the beginning, when just crossing the street, that was like, okay, do I look first to the left and then to the right? First to the right and then to the left. It was just a little new. And also public transport is just organized in a very different way. For example, in the South, they had bus stations and proper buses. But it could be the case that the bus just wouldn't show up. Or they would just show up 30 minutes late. But there's no way you could have really known unless you knew like this specific website where to go and how to navigate the website, because to me that also really wasn't clear. Mm-hmm. And then in the north you also had small vans, and these vans would just depart whenever they were completely filled. But I mean, there's no way of determining when that's going to be. And then whenever the van would depart, it could also be the case that the driver had to drop stuff off at other places, which also gave you a delay of maybe 30 minutes or maybe even more. I also remember one time when we wanted to go to the coast, we had to take these little vans and we were sitting there and you basically had two rows on each side of the van. So one row of one seat and then another row with two seats. And then, of course, like the small little corridor thingy in the middle. And then all of a sudden, there came more people into the van and we were like, how is this going to fit? And then all of a sudden, in the middle, where there was actually space to walk, you know, they just pulled down these little seats from from the sides of the other seat. And then they just sat down in the middle. So the van was completely filled. There was no space to walk. And I was imagining, like, how will the people in the back just leave the van when they arrive at their destination? I had never seen something like that before. Yeah. And we all looked at each other like, what just happened?
And it's funny, like, we had like similar things with transport. I think some of us had to kind of like get let loose of like, this isn't efficient. This weird way of like our idea of efficiency. We could only explore like our province that we were in because of security reasons. But we went to an island that was just off the coast. And so it's like a 2-hour boat journey. But when you're in the city, you can just dock onto the boat and it's fine. But when you arrive to the island, they couldn't get close enough. So you just have to wait. And you're waiting for like another hour, an hour and a half for them just to like bring little banana boats and then bring people from the shore to the from the boat. And some of us were just sitting here like, this is not efficient. Mm-hmm. And it's just so funny because like the first day it was warm, so we kind of like could relax. On the departure, there was a storm, so everybody was stressed. The boat was definitely max capacity, so all of us were like, how is this even allowed? Mm-hmm. And kind of just like experiencing these things and kind of being like, okay, this is the way they do stuff. Like also timing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you experience like how they like being on time and what is being on time. And so we would always have like the lessons would start at 8:30 or something. And we were told to get there for 8:30, even though the class might have started like at 9. Mm-hmm. And so it's also funny how like we were really like, no, you still have to be there at that time, but it just allows like this wiggle room. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, but I also just really like to see these cultural differences, because when I would imagine the same situation to be happening in the Netherlands, everyone would be so frustrated, you know, and so angry with the whole system not working. But in Cyprus, everyone was just happy living their lives. They were already happy that they could be transported, you know? They didn't even think about that it might not be the most efficient way.
Like a more of like a way of like helping each other out.
Exactly.
Rather than like, I think it's also like typical Dutch of like getting involved to tell your opinion, you know?
Yeah.
I definitely see that from my like my Dutch family. It's like, hey, I'm just gonna tell you that what I think you're doing is not right because I wouldn't do it that way. Mm-hmm. Whereas that it's just more like I'm either gonna shut my mouth or I'm going to help out, you know, and like help that woman off the, like onto the boat or something like that.
Yeah, but also gratefulness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that, I mean, you went with a bus to some cities and also you went outside of the city. So how would you describe the landscape, the country itself?
Well, especially since my subgroup and I conducted research on audiovisual landscapes, this is really something that I can talk about. There were a lot of narrow streets in the city center, I would say. There was this old city, which really also gave you this historical feeling. But on the other hand, there were also abandoned buildings and then a lot of street art and graffiti where people really showed their artistic expression of the current situation. And what happened in the past, of course. You also had these beautiful mountains and beautiful beaches. And also whenever we would talk to interviewees, they would always mention these certain landscapes and also the tropical cypress trees and citrus trees, because to them that really made them feel at home. And also these mountains would also visually divide the landscape into multiple parts, because then, of course, you couldn't see the other side. So that's something really interesting. And also in terms of sound, you had like this izam, which would play like every day. And that also really gave you the feeling that you were abroad. And also whenever you would just cross to the other side, you would immediately feel like you were, yeah, I don't know, it would be more of a Middle Eastern vibe than in the South. And a lot of cats. There were a lot of cats. but everyone would also just take care of the cats, even though they were all stray cats. They would feed them. Sometimes they even had names for the cats. Oh. So, yeah, it was really, really nice.
It's really sweet. Yeah, I think, interestingly, animal-wise, in the city, like, if you saw dog owners, they're more in like the like nicer part of the city, like the more wealthier part of the city, and owned by maybe like looking like expats, which was really interesting. And the roads are always quite wide and there's trees, but biggest thing is like the state of the roads and also the pavements. There's massive potholes. So we'd always joke like you have to be careful, otherwise you're just gonna like slip through and like fall down like into the middle of nowhere, because you're like,
oh, no.
The holes are that big on the pavement. So that's something that you had to kind of like get used to. And I think so outside the city, like the landscape is really green. It's amazing, honestly. I don't know what I expected going to Mozambique, but we went to the beach. The drive there is like a couple of hours. And so you're going through green, and then you see a small cluster of little makeshift homes that are built, and like little villages. Or you have, what's really interesting is that a lot of the buildings, either like more in the countryside, but also like on the outskirts of the cities, are like plastered with advertisements for like Coca-Cola. So there's a massive like Coca-Cola, like red, like strip for ages, or like different stuff like that. And so that really caught my eye of, yeah, you constantly see these sort of like globalized symbols within the city, even outside the city. Mm-hmm. And we went through a nature reserve, which is green, and we saw loads of lovely animals. But I think, yeah, the sort of the state of like the city is very different here. I think also like Maastricht like prides itself for being very clean and very organized. Whereas there, you definitely, on many corners, you have a big, like, rubbish bin. And there is just, like, trash everywhere. And you definitely have to take a couple of days to kind of, like, which sounds bad, but, like, sort of sensitize yourself against it. Like, this is not their biggest problem. Mm-hmm. They are not concerned. And they're definitely, like, there is a concern within the younger, like, demographic of, like, the environment, and there are protests that the government is also accepting, which is really interesting, because whereas on the political demonstrations that were happening during the time that we were there or just before we arrived, you know, completely unacceptable, and we weren't allowed to go near it because of like police and everything. Whereas compared to if you see anything with the environmental cause or activists, you can engage with that because it's allowed. But it is, I think, on that everybody sort of like life, it's not a big deal. So that was something to get used to. You just have these big bins, and you have also, fortunately, you have people going through them, grabbing stuff. So you really do see a mix of living circumstances. And yeah, and there are a lot of the massive avenues, but there are a lot of then houses where people are kind of living on top of each other because there are big like apartment blocks. So that's really interesting.
Mm. Also, something I found really interesting was that there was this huge archaeological site and then just a small fence, and then you immediately had these very modern buildings. So yeah, that was just so strange to see also, because you just don't expect them to still keep the archaeological site the way it is, and then immediately build just very modern buildings next to it. You would expect maybe some sort of that it, you know, merges into one another. Yeah.
From what you tell me, it sounds like you're very, like both of you were very immersed into the environment from the start. Is there something that you miss maybe from home? Like, okay, this is so different. I really miss that now that I don't have it.
Honestly, no.
No?
To me, no. I think I even thought about it when I was there. I think I could honestly live there.
Wow, that's cool.
The only reason why I wouldn't consider it is because the housing situation is pretty difficult, especially compared to the wages. And then even though people have like pretty high degree, they still don't earn enough. Yeah, just the atmosphere and everything, it was really captivating. And even now when I'm here, I actually miss more things that I had there than when I was there, that I missed stuff from home.
Mm-hmm. And what do you miss?
For example, the olive bread. That's really something that was just so nice. And also just the way that people, you know, interact with each other, interact with the environment, interact with animals, stray animals or not, that doesn't matter. Mm. The mentality of let live, you know, just respect each other. Yeah, and just the sun and, you know, being energized in the morning and having this beautiful view around you with a lot of diverse landscapes. If you want to go to the mountain, you can do so. If you want to tan at the beach or if you want to explore some archaeological monuments or something, everything is there. And then the Netherlands is just really flat and gray and rainy.
Yeah. No, I think the weather, I agree. The time of year that we went compared to like here, you know, it's November, it's grey, it's cold and everything. And then you go there, it's warm and it's luscious. And I also really like, I know myself, I'm a hot weather person. Mm-hmm. So just, yeah, it is so funny how like the weather really determines your mood. And you wake up and you're like, it's sunny. I get to wear like summer clothes and it's nice and you're smiley. I think for me, the things that I missed were definitely sort of like the basics with like the showering. I kind of, I'm so glad I'd shower with like a cockroach, maybe like cooling up the wall and me grabbing like, you know, a slide and just like hitting it. Like food, just like that, how I think if I think when you share your space with other people, you obviously have to adapt to how they're living. But also because we have like cockroaches, we didn't eat certain things or you didn't leave stuff out. And so I kind of missed the flexibility of like, oh, I'd like to have this meal, I'd like to have that meal. But that being said, you know, I'm vegetarian. I'm also lactose and gluten intolerant. So everyone's like, we're going to have not a nice time with food. That being said, it was really easy finding like, it was really like, I was not worried about it. I know other people who are vegan were worried about it and say that they don't think it was as accessible as they wanted. Mm. For me, I know that my diet is restrictive. So like going there, I'm happy to eat whatever I can eat. Mm-hmm. But I think just those like sort of basic necessities, I kind of miss. And also being able to do stuff on my own. Like, I remember, like, I took one walk on my own to the supermarket whilst I was waiting for people. And I felt so, like, which is strange because I felt so uncomfortable. So I thought someone's going to approach me and something could happen. Mm. Like, I felt weirdly unsafe, but at the same time, nothing had happened to me. Mm-hmm. Like, the only chance that something happened to me, it was, I was in a market at night with everybody. And, yeah, okay, people get touchy-feely and they left the situation, but during the day nothing had happened. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of like navigating this feeling of like, I feel like I should be like on high alert, but nothing's happening. And so then you're constantly with other people, and I am someone that enjoys my own space. Mm-hmm. So that is one thing I definitely, like towards the end, I think everybody was like, it got hotter and everybody was a bit more tired and missing home a bit more. But I would agree, like I think the experience with you, like you said, like makes me want to be back there.
Mm-hmm.
Or just like travel.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got a little bug of like, I want to go traveling now. I want to explore more. I want to get to know more people and see more landscapes. And honestly, yeah, so lucky that we have that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And how some things, places are just beautiful.
Also, whenever I think about it, like if I could make the whole decision again of going to a certain destination, I would definitely choose the same destination because I just want to relive, you know, what I experienced there. But I also do think that my experience might be a little biased because it was all, of course, very new from the people that I went with to the environment that we moved to. Whereas I have been living in the Netherlands my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I can imagine that for you as an international student going to, you know, Maastricht, it is already a new experience. And for me, it was just another Dutch city, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So in that sense, I think that's also a reason why I didn't really miss that much from home. And I'm mm-hmm. also not really a kind of person to get homesick or something, because I know that I will see them, you know, soon, and then I can mm-hmm. tell them all about my experiences. But to me, the field study just really felt like a very big adventure. It also really made me want to travel more and see more beautiful places in the world.
Mm-hmm. Relating to what you just said, Lily, do you think there's anything from your experience as an international student that helped you adapt quicker to Mozambique?
Oh, I honestly, I didn't think about it like that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I would just say more that I've had the opportunities to travel with my family, which I'm very like grateful for, because also I think it allows you to kind of like adapt to those situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's also just like a mindset that you could put on of like, okay, you just kind of, and I think now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, you know, I moved here from the UK, and yes, I'm Dutch and I know the Netherlands, but don't know the south of the Netherlands, which you wouldn't think is very different, but there are differences. So like, I think with that sort of knowledge of like, okay, like the location you are, the people make the place is very different. I think just kind of gives you maybe like this thing of like, you're here, I just let it happen. And it's not like home, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say it's because I'm an international student that it's like that. Or I've never like put those two things together.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say like, if you're just an open person and you're just, you have to kind of adapt and kind of merge yourself into the environment. Mm-hmm. I think that's really important to get like the best experience, but also not to have such a stark reality or culture shock. You have to kind of go in there, be like, I'm just going to see how it's done
mm-hmm.
and I will follow along.
Exactly. And, just be open.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, you can, of course, like your positionality will make you slightly, you know, make you an outsider depending where you are, but you kind of have to be as respectful as possible in that transition into the country.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's one thing that I was really aware of. I think especially as, you know, my like my identity as like a white European person going to Mozambique with its like history and also like, you know, racial differences, I think we could say, you're already seen as an outsider. So that we were very like, some of us were very conscious about where we would go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're not going to go into this neighborhood, even if it's doing this one activity, we're not going to go there. Why would we go there? The only reason we want to go there is just to see how people are living differently.
Mm-hmm.
But this is their everyday lives, and so it's wrong to go and just to be able to see people living in poverty, you know,
mm-hmm.
even if there are some amazing like artworks. So mm-hmm. those things you really have to navigate. But I wouldn't say it's an international thing.
Were there also moments like that where you kind of felt like an intruder?
Yeah, I think there are definitely times where I was like, I felt maybe out of place, but people were very welcoming. I think it's more like, and maybe this is just me, and I tried to be very aware of it. And so maybe that made my experience that I was always like aware of like my positionality. But I think that's what's something that we're really taught in our courses, that you have to be aware of your positionality.
Mm.
So trying to find a balance of doing that, like not only in your academic researcher position,
mm-hmm.
but also in your personal life. But people were really open and really curious. They're like, you know, what are you doing here? Which I like, I've experienced in other countries, which is really nice, you know, when people want to hear why you're here, like, why you're here, why you're interested in their country. And sometimes it differs per country. Some people are more interested in telling you their experience, which is also great. But it's more depending on the person. Mm-hmm. And maybe because I've traveled or because I have lived in different environments, then I am more adaptable and it doesn't mm-hmm. feel like a big thing. But I, yeah.
Given that it was more research focused here, how do you think that the field study that we did for like 1 month is different from like a classic Erasmus program where you go on exchange for like a semester and then you take courses there and you also have to adapt to a new culture and a new university environment? But what do you see as the biggest differences?
I think this field study was definitely more intense. especially because we in Cyprus didn't follow any courses at a partner university. We just had to immerse ourselves immediately in the research, and we were also really conducting research sometimes from 9 to 5, mm-hmm. or sometimes even a little later. I also think that when you go on Erasmus, you also have more time to connect with other people and create these long-lasting friendships. Mm-hmm. Because now we were just there for a month, and it maybe seemed like pretty long time. It also really differs, because 4 weeks can seem to some as quite a long time, but to others as not long enough. The latter is also kind of what I thought. When you go on Erasmus, you go there for 6 months. Usually you have more time to explore the place, to create these long-lasting connections with people. Whereas now we just had to leave after 1 month, and we knew that from the beginning. So time is just really limited. In short, I think that when you go on Erasmus, you have just, you can take more out of the experience. And that's also something that, even though that this field study was incredible, I think it's still a little sad that we in global studies don't have an Erasmus, or at least maybe more field studies, so that at least we can go abroad for multiple months or a little longer than just 4 weeks.
I would agree that it's very short and very intense, mm-hmm. because you're dropped into a new culture,
yeah.
into a new environment, and with people, with students that you don't know. Kind of with your left with your own like sort of resources and your own goals. This is what you want to take out of the 4 weeks. You can do that. And also dependent on your supervisor. Other groups with the ethical, like my supervisor, and I praise her for it, was very strict on the ethics around the research. Mm-hmm. We could not record anybody with a device. It was all handwritten, which really, when you're doing an interview, really changes mm-hmm. the way you do this interview. And this is also sometimes what it's like on the field, where you're in such a remote location that you might just have to pull out your notepad and just write. So that was really interesting. I think it's a very immersive experience, in the sense that you get to do all the different forms of research methods that we have studied. Mm-hmm. You actually get to practice it. This is more of a form of research that we're interested in academically, but also you're really into it. Mm-hmm. Of course, we followed a couple of classes for the first week, but you still don't get that whole experience of like, this is how the educational system works. Yeah, I think on an Erasmus, you're there for a more expensive time. You really build your life there. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think with the field study, you know you're there for 4 weeks, so it's going to end. Mm-hmm. And like that month comes really quickly. I can imagine for like an Erasmus student, it's very difficult, because you go, you commit mm-hmm. for 6 months. You're there, you experience it, you have like friendships, relationships, whatever. You know, you build your life there. And then you kind of have to drop it and then mm-hmm. come back to like this new reality back in Maastricht. But I would agree, like I also found it quite short being there. That made it feel far more intense and mm-hmm. draining when we were there, because it's like, oh my God, okay. Like you couldn't really take a rest day. Or if you did take a rest day, like you could feel like the work piling mm-hmm. up. And so like we would definitely take a weekend off, which I would recommend. But it's in the back of your head of how much you can achieve. Mm-hmm. And because there's no sort of like standard, you could kind of see, well, people's just going to try and do as much as possible.
I think even if the Erasmus would only be 3 months, uh-huh. that would already be very valuable. Because in practical terms, I think that you take a lot out of the field study when thinking about how to conduct research, how to conduct ethical research, you know,
yeah.
just all the practicalities. Because, yeah, it's nice to read about it, to have like these small projects, but you're never really putting it all into practice. Also in an environment that's maybe a bit out of your comfort zone. But when going on Erasmus, you have all these other kinds of experiences, maybe also linked to maybe conducting research, but also just everything beyond that, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
So I think it's a very nice experience, but just very, very different.
Mm. So from what I understand, you both would have wished to stay a bit longer, or at least go back at some point.
Definitely.
Oh, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually thinking about going back this summer.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I think you get that with most places that you visit, you know, and you spend mm-hmm. a big portion of your time with. I'd also be happy not to go back.
Mm-hmm.
I've now done the experience. So now that I'm like, it's, you know, been quite a few months now since we've been, I'm like, oh, you know, it was amazing. And I'll go back in the future, but I'd have to go back like mm-hmm. straight away. But I I was gonna say, I could also imagine, like, for me, I'm like, I moved to a new city and I moved to a new country and had to like adapt to this country, living in this country. But I think when you're doing the field study, you're still a visitor.
Yeah.
You don't get a job or...
And you don't have the time to settle down.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. You don't visit that restaurant enough for it to be like, you know, your usual place. Mm-hmm. So I think, yeah.
There's something I've been wondering. So I saw the new field study destinations. And then I was thinking, okay, also with the knowledge that I have now about the Cyprus destination, would I still pick the same if I also see these new, very exciting destinations?
Yeah.
So I think... It will definitely be in my top three, but still, I think I would also like to explore two new ones. How is that for you?
I think I would still choose Mozambique. But I'm also really, you know, you see the other countries, you're like, oh, if I could just do another year.
I'm also wondering what kind of topics they have linked to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think it also really depends on like why people chose different field studies. That was definitely for me, it was like, okay, I can imagine myself going to Thailand or like, you know, Asia to travel myself. I could see myself doing that in Latin America. I couldn't see myself doing that on my own in Mozambique. Mm-hmm. Now that I've experienced it, yeah, I think I would not on my own, but I would go with a friend or something. And then topic wise. So I think if there's anybody listening that's maybe choosing their stuff for next year, the topics is also really important because it's so intense and so you immerse yourself in the research with crazy experience. You really have to enjoy the topic.
And
now just to round it all up, could you briefly just like summarize what your main takeaway was from the whole experience? It's a big question, I know.
Yeah, I need a minute for that.
Yeah.
I think the main takeaway is to just really be open-minded. I wouldn't necessarily say be adventurous, it helps, but be open-minded and be adaptive to how people respond to things, how people interact, the environment, the food, the culture, just anything basically that could be out of your comfort zone. And don't be afraid by what might happen, because you are surrounded by people who will support you and who are also probably dealing with the same kind of struggles. Yeah, basically just enjoy. I mean, it's just 1 month, so enjoy the experience abroad.
Yeah, I think I couldn't agree more with what you said. I think the more open-minded you are, whatever happens, it's going to be an experience. Whether it's bad or good, you still learn from it.
Exactly.
And I think there are some things, you know, I had a little accident when I was in Mozambique, and my reaction was just like, that happened, I'm a bit hurt, but I'm physically otherwise okay. And like, I can now laugh from it, and it's an experience, it's a story. Mm-hmm. I think if I had reacted very differently, or to any other situation, if I'd reacted differently, you just go, like, don't close yourself off to what's there and what's on offer. And I don't think you have to then go out and grab everything and go do everything. But even if you're walking along the streets, and you just like, just take it all in, because it's a great experience that we got given. And yeah, it's really cool to be able to meet new people and be in new environments that you could possibly go back to or never again, but you still have that experience.
Exactly. Yeah, just don't be overwhelmed.
Yeah,
just breathe, you know. Yeah. And see it as just this big journey that can really enrich your experience.
Yeah,
because to me that's really what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that was a very good note to end on. So thank you so much, Lily and Lotte, for being here today. I think it was a very interesting conversation. And also thank you to our listeners for clicking on this episode. I hope you enjoyed it as well. And yeah, remember to check out the first episode and stay tuned for the third episode as well. Yeah, talk to you soon.
This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Leanne Lichtenberger. The music for this episode was produced by Stone Ocean.